I thank God He's worthy. And He's King. He's not a king. He's my King. Well, glory. Turn to Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 22 through verse 25. The Bible said, "Behold, I still believe this, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Oh, I don't know if you got that or not. Being interpreted, God with us. I'm glad that it came down to be with us so we can go up and be with Him. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Our Father, it's in that name that I'm praying today, the name of Jesus. I'm glad you are with us this morning. I pray that you would be with Miss Susie right now there in Charleston General Hospital as she's waiting this surgery. And I pray the power of the touch of God will be on her today, that you'll heal her leg, touch her leg, be with her dear mom and family and overshadow them. But I am thankful, Lord, as you're up there with her, you're down here with us, and you're with us today. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And I'll bless, I pray, the preaching, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I love the Christmas season. How many love the Christmas season? I love the Christmas season. But I'll tell you what I don't like about the Christmas season. It's kind of got too common. And I'm getting tired of hearing. And I probably heard it 15 times this week. And I responded to all 15 times I was told this. I was told 15 times at least, "Happy Holidays." And I looked at them and said, "Merry Christmas." Somebody help me preach. I want to take you back to the first Christmas. I want to take you back. By the way, can I say this? The devil wants to destroy the name of Jesus. I don't know if you got that. The devil wants us to destroy the name of Jesus. Before the money and before the gifts, the first Christmas, Joseph was there. Could your mind imagine for a moment the mindset of Joseph? He had the woman of his dreams. He felt like he was in the total will of God. And then he finds out she was with child. Could you imagine his confusion? Could you imagine the devastation? Could you imagine the trauma? He already planned, "I'm going to put her away privately. I love her so much, I don't want to make a public example of her. But I'm glad that I got a God that's able to meet us at our need." And he sent an angel. And that angel said, no, don't be afraid. This is not a glitch. This is not a breakup in the plan. No, this is the very plan of God. This is the will of God. Everything that's happening, this is not a scandal. It's God working. I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad I got a God that is working. A lot of people's trying to destroy His name. But I want you to know, unto us, a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's wonderful for the delights of life. He's Counselor for the decisions of life. He's Mighty God for the dangers of life. Hallelujah. He's Everlasting Father for the duration of life. He's Prince of Peace for the disturbance of life. Thank God for Jesus. And I quote a lot of names. But I want to tell you what my favorite name for Jesus is: Emmanuel. And you say, why, preacher? It means God with us. At that name, demons flee. At that name, sicknesses are healed. Not Muhammad. Not Buddha. Not the Pope. Not the President. Not the governor, but Emmanuel, God with us. I want to tell you this morning, if he is with us, it doesn't matter what you're facing. I've got a God at this Christmas time to be able to take care of you because he is with us. The God that created the universe, the God that made us, the God that breathed in our nostrils and we became a living soul. He is with us. Amen. You might say, Pastor, I've got a burden though. God is with us. Pastor, 2021 has been the most difficult year of my life. God is with us. I don't know what I'm going to do in 2022. God is with us. Pastor, I got sickness in my body. I don't know what's going to happen. God is with us. Pastor, I got a marriage on the rocks. I don't know what. I don't know if it's going to survive. God is with us. Pastor, I got a rebellious child that's acting like a lunatic. I don't know what to do. My friend, can I tell you, God is with us. My friends have gotten few, and I don't have very many, but can I tell you, you got a friend closer than a brother. God is with us. Woo! Let me give you four or five. Can I have a drink of water? I just blowed everything out of my lungs. You just don't know what's in that water. How did this all come about? God with us. Y'all ready? I tell you what, somebody might have to hold. I want to so bad run. Y'all don't know how bad. Let me give you four things and I'll be done right here from this passage. You follow me if you can. First of all, if he's with us, it required a divine conception. Say that again. It required a divine conception. Look at verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. 700 years before Christ. First of all, I see a spoken prophecy. Hey, it might have surprised Joseph. It may have surprised Mary. But it was not an accident, and it was not coincidence, and it was not a happenstance, but it was on God's calendar. And when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the curse of the law. Ladies and gentlemen, God had a predestined, predetermined time that the Lord Jesus would come, and it was spoken in prophecy. In verse 22 and 23, it was a supernatural phenomenon. Ain't nobody ever had it before, and ain't nobody ever going to do it again. And that is being born of a virgin. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, we've almost given up on the supernatural. We almost give it up that God can intervene. But I say to you this morning, if you need a supernatural touch, if you need a supernatural God, He is a supernatural God because He had a supernatural birth. Somebody help me preach. This woman's womb was never tainted. This woman had never been impure. I'm about ready to shout this out. I wrote this down. I don't know if it's original, but it's original with me. God put God inside of her. Might not be able to get it back up here, but no. If I can't do it, I'll walk. Oh, I got it. Y'all have as fun as I am. Number three, it was supernatural purity or spiritual purity. Listen to this. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, amen, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I want you to know what's in your bloodline. Is death, doom, hell, despair. But I want you to know what was in His blood. It was not death. He was not born in sin. He is born in purity. The blood that ran in Jesus' veins was not the blood of Adam, but it was the blood of God. And He is the last Adam to put down and destroy everything that happened in the first Adam. Thank God He's with us. Oh, hallelujah. Number two, I'm hurrying. Hallelujah. Look at verse number 21. Not only do I see a divine conception, but verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Listen, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not only that name Emmanuel, God with us, not only was there a divine conception, but there was a destined cross. There was more than the crib. There was a cross. And you know what makes the difference for us this morning? The old rugged cross. First of all, through His suffering agonies, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Oh, glory. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that we that are the Son of Man can become the sons of God. And He did it through suffering agonies. He also did it through a sinful atonement. We were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus or Christ, without spot and without blemish, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. He became sin. He bore your sin. He shed His blood to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of your sin. And if you receive Him this morning, that forgiveness, that salvation will come to you today. God with us. And then I see His saving ability. Now look at me. There ain't a person in this room He can't save. Not a person in this world He can't save. Because my Bible said, wherefore He's able to save to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. What's the big deal, preacher? The big deal is red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in His sight. Whether you're in India, whether you're in Pakistan, whether you're in Chicago, I don't care where you're at. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, is able to save you. Woo! Number three. I'm still going, almost done. Man, I'm happy this morning. Can y'all sense it? I'm gonna go over into chapter 2. Is that okay? But also, I see a disgruntled conflict. Not everybody's happy. Come on now. There's always a Scrooge. In this case, the Scrooge is King Herod. By the way, look at verse number 1. He had an extreme contention. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. There was extreme contention. Then there was an envious competition. Look at verse 2 and 3. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem, I'll tell you why he was troubled. He didn't want to have any competition. And I want to say something that's sad today. There's too much that's coming to our attention at Christmas that is offering competition to our Lord. Christmas is more than a tree. Christmas is more than gifts. And it's, somebody help me preach. It's more than shopping. No, there's no competition. It's all about Christ. He has no rival. We bustle around. Some of us are shook up right now because of the supply chain. We don't know if we'll get it all in or not. Ladies and gentlemen, whether we get one gift in the mail, whether Amazon comes through or not, I'm thankful that God came through and Jesus came through and God is with us. And we don't have a thing under the tree. We have eternal life and we have Jesus Christ and there is no competition. Then I see an evil compulsion. We're going to kill him. Look at me. They were going to kill him. How many of y'all agree right now? This humanistic society of ours today are still trying to do the same thing. It's not Merry Xmas. It's Merry Christmas. And I'm going to just run a rabbit. These athletes, they get up and, you know, they brag about their success and they live like Antichrist. Yeah, right. Oh, thank God for the man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's Jesus. Why somebody praise his name this morning? And some people, that's their heroes. LeBron's their hero. He's my hero. He's a devil. You heard it here first. Let me tell you, somebody help me preach. I tell you, I got a hero. His name is Jesus. He never did anything wrong. He never sinned. There was no competition to him. He was great. He was wonderful. He died on a cross. He went to a grave. On the third day, he came from the grave. Thank God he's my hero this morning. Woo! Number 4, and I'm done. Can I say something about the wise men? Come on now. And by the way, wise men still seek Jesus. And I want to talk fourthly. There was a definite change. When them bold boys heard about Jesus, all their plans changed. And they were from the east and they followed that star. Somebody help me preach. There was a powerful draw. I want you to know something. I'm not trying to draw you to the church this morning. I'm not trying to draw you to a denomination this morning. I'm not trying to draw you to this preacher this morning. I'm a failure. But I want you to know something. There is a star that was back then. That was a powerful draw to them. And I want you to know there's a powerful draw this morning. His name is Jesus Christ. I want you, well, glory to God. When they sang, them three little girls sang this morning, I thought, boy, I thought I'm going to get out of this chair and just flip. And then when y'all started signing that song, All He's Done, I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I was drawn to Jesus. The Bible draws me to Jesus. Prayer draws me to Jesus. Coming in church this morning draws me to Jesus. Oh, thank God it's Jesus in the morning, Jesus at noon, and Jesus all day long. There's just something about the name of Jesus. It draws people. Then I see a pursuit, pursuing desire. They saw the star and they came to worship. I want y'all to know something. Hear this out, slowing down. I want you to hear it. When you get saved and when you're following Jesus, it changes who you bow to. I'm not bound to the government. I'm not bound to a senator, a congressman, a president. They ain't worthy to be bowed to, but I am bowing my knee to the Lord Jesus, who saved my soul, who is the King of my life. Yes, I got a new pursuit when I got saved. Look at verse number 10 of chapter 2. Had a passionate delight. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with seeing great joy. Whoa, when it came where Jesus was, you know, a lot of people, I'll tell you how they're going to celebrate Christmas. They're going to overspend. And some of them going to have drunken parties. I want you to know wise men don't do that. Wise men bow to Jesus. Wise men rejoice in Jesus. Let me ask you, how many of y'all go back to the day you were saved and remember Him saving your soul? Let me ask you, does that still bring delight to you? Does that still bring joy to you? Is there still something in you that bubbles up when you think about Him coming to where you were? And we ought to have a passionate delight. But listen to this. Brother Green, I like this part of the sermon. Brother Green, they had presented devotion. They opened their treasure. Somebody help me preach. Now, I'm going to say something to you. There's a big debate. How many wise men were there? Don't say three, because you don't know that. They could have been 300. They could have been 30. It don't matter how many. They brought three gifts. But it doesn't matter how many wise men there was. What was important is there was only one Savior. And they brought gifts. I want you to know they brought gifts. You know, we're going to have a sacrificial gift on the 19th. You know what I'm going to give? I'm going to give that day. I'm going to give it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to give it because He gave to me. And by the way, I want you to know something. I don't have a problem paying my tithes. I don't have a problem giving my offerings because He gave it all to me. And everything I got's because of Him. And I'm glad to give my gifts. And we ought to present our gifts to Jesus. Somebody praise His name. Last thing, I'm done. Look at verse 12. And then they were provided direction. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. I think I'm taking stand. I wouldn't give you a nickel for salvation that didn't change your direction. That didn't change your way. Didn't take you from one place and go to another place. Somebody help me preach. You know something? If you're a grumpy person this morning, if you get in touch with Emmanuel by the first of the year, you may not ever be grumpy again. If you're a complainer, if you get a hold of God with you, you may not ever complain again. If you're a halfway in Christian, if you get really hooked up with God with us, you won't be halfway no longer. You'll be all the way in. And if you're a lost sinner on your way to hell this morning, I want you to know you can't change directions this morning. God can save you and turn your life around this morning. All you need to do is trust Him this morning and get saved, and He'll change everything about you. Lord, scale, would you get the piano for me? Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. I wonder how many in this room would say, "Preacher, I know that I know that I'm saved." Raise your hand if you know it. Hold them up high. Thank you. How many right now say, "Preacher, I don't know I'm saved, but I'd like to meet that Emmanuel." And I want you just to pray for me this morning. I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. Would you slip up your hand? God bless that hand. Somebody else. How many Christians, you're a little bit like Joseph right now. You're a little frightened about a problem. There's a situation that really bothers you. I will say this. I got a situation right now, not in my life directly, but could potentially affect me directly or indirectly. And I want you to know, I need Him this morning. Anyone in here, or a problem, a situation, a burden, that you just raise your hand and say, "I need Emmanuel this morning." Raise them up all the house. I need Emmanuel this morning. I need Emmanuel this morning. Would you stand with me? And everybody that raised your hand, would you come and bow at Emmanuel's feet? Would you come and bow to Him this morning? And if you're lost, would you come and trust Him this morning? Our Father, thank You for this passage of Scripture. I hope it's real to people this morning. It sure become real to me. Now touch, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.